The bus stopped in Dallas for snacks, smoke breaks, and non-specified leg-stretching activities. Carlton got off the bus to use the restroom. Sure, there is one provided on all Greyhounds. This is one of the many amenities that makes Greyhound the bus line most used and for a transportation service nationwide. Amenities aside, Carlton preferred to poop with a forward momentum less than 60 miles an hour. He got off the bus and proceeded forward on his quest to take a stationary shit. Carlton had decided to get far away from New Orleans shortly after contracting pubic lice from the woman he loved. He had looked up plane tickets that would fly all the way to New Zealand, but was disappointed at the ease of transcontinental transportation. Carlton believed that running away must be cathartic if it was going to mean anything. So, as partial fulfillment of his quest for self-flagellation, Carlton was on a bus heading to El Paso, where he would meet a man named Sam Hughes. Sam said he would take Carlton and his bike to the Mexican border crossing in Antelope Wells, New Mexico. From there, he intended to pedal north along a series of dirt roads and single-track bike trails zigzagging across the Continental Divide until he found Canada. Carlton believed that this journey would have a sufficient amount of catharsis to meet his masochistic needs. The Continental Divide is the line in the middle of the country that divides the North American watersheds into the Atlantic and the Pacific. All the rain that falls to the east of the Continental Divide will find its way into rivers and streams that feed into the Mississippi and then out into the Gulf of Mexico. All the water to the west of the line will find its way to the Pacific. Carlton had maps, a compass, and an odometer on his bike. He did not expect to lose his way, but took great comfort knowing that all northward travel in the continental United States eventually leads to Canada. Furthermore, if everything went to hell and he did become deeply and irrevocably lost, he could always follow any east-flowing water until it hit the Mississippi. From there, he could just float back to New Orleans and resume his unfulfilling life as a cuckold who couldn't even find Canada. All in all, Carlton felt confident in his ability to bring himself to that expansive country that sits atop his own like a vast hat. Carlton finished relieving himself, got back on the bus, and shimmied past Marvin Deckler's knees. Marvin Deckler had been asleep. He was not pleased that Carlton woke him from his slumber. "Humph," Marvin said. "Sorry, Mr. Deckler." "Humph." Marvin rubbed his eyes. "Well, I guess my beauty rest is over. I was hoping to sleep right through the flat part of Texas. Of course, it's all flat, so I guess I should say I was hoping to sleep through Texas. Apparently, the big man upstairs has different plans for me. That would make you, the guy who woke me up, the vehicle for God's will." Marvin boofed Carlton on the nose. "God's little vehicle, like a divine Prius." Carlton nodded. "Have you ever read Hebrews 13:4? "No," said Carlton. "Oh, okay." Marvin seemed satisfied and continued to read aloud the scripture to himself. Carlton was slowly growing to hate Marvin Deckler. "Young man, are you abstinent?" "I am not going to answer that." "Well, I certainly am. I am conflicted about it, though. I find abstinence leaves a lot to be desired." "I'm going to listen to my podcast now," said Carlton. Marvin was not content to let the conversation lie there. So many people run around crotch first, like a morally reprehensible crab walk. "I talk about this a lot in my street sermons. It says right here that God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." Marvin waved the Bible between Carlton and his iPod while pointing at a bit of text. "Right there, sexually immoral. See?" Carlton looked out the window and wondered if God's judgment was performance-based. "Maybe there'll be medals awarded. Or, like, playoffs?" He thought about Eleanor and her crash lice and his failed relationship. He thought that if sexuality was a competition judged by God, that Eleanor had been playing in a poorly regulated league. Eleanor had called him last week and said, "Carlton, I have crabs." Carlton had responded, "Sounds delicious." "Oh God, gross. No, like pubic lice. Things are really itchy right now." And so Carlton got mad, and then sad, and then a little drunk. He repeatedly shampooed and combed his pubic hair. As he groomed himself, he couldn't help but wonder if it was the sign. Surely there was a reason he was picking critters out of his junk and single. Adolescent male baboons grow restless and leave the pack for a while as they come upon sexual maturity. After they have mellowed out, they return to the pack because they are social creatures that want to be groomed and mate and all that stuff. However, upon their return, they are largely ignored for the first 3 to 6 months. Any female baboon that attempts to groom the young male will be violently attacked by the alpha male. As Carlton groomed himself, he felt like an adolescent baboon. Flea-infested, alone, and beta as fuck. That night, while Carlton was at his most wounded and his itchiest, he decided to shake things up. He decided to take a break from the city and seek out desolation. He was going to bike somewhere and get to know the real Carlton. He planned on becoming a new person, a person who would not get crabs, a better sort of person. Marvin Deckler tapped Carlton on the shoulder and broke him out of his introspective tailspin. What do you know about Gandhi, young man? Did you know he wore no shoes and had the calluses on his feet? Did you know he was quite thin and frail? Did you know he had perpetually bad breath that could not be abated no matter what he did? No, Mr. Deckler, I did not know that. Yes, indeed. The little man was a super calloused, fragile mystic hexed by halitosis. You're a remarkable human being, Mr. Deckler, said Carlton. Carlton smiled with an unfamiliar self-assurance that fit him like a second-hand suit. Carlton felt he was at the start of something, maybe even something remarkable.